who are going through that time of difficulty and that time of suffering. Second resource is glory. He uses an example, an illustration, and certainly in a negative manner. It's in Job 14, and that was our second reading. And he uses the example of a tree. He says, at least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new roots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. So in other words, a tree, he's referring to the fact that there are times for a tree to produce fruit, and for it to be healthy, it must be pruned. And certainly if a tree could talk, it would not be happy with pruning. I imagine it would scream when branches are cut away. But as a matter of fact, when you see a tree that's been pruned, my neighbors have pruned this big tree in their yard, and they literally cut off everything but the bottom of the trunk. And I'm thinking, man, that poor tree. But the tree will grow and it will bloom. And so pruning is God's way of bringing new growth and bringing fruit. That's how He works. In Romans 8:18, Paul writes these words to the church at Rome, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth being compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Think about that. The sufferings that we encounter now, the sufferings that we are presently facing, they're nothing compared to the glory that awaits us in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Yeah, we're wasting away. Sometimes here we're really hurting. And we're facing things. But just remember that we are being renewed in Christ day by day as He has a plan and He has a purpose, and we are getting closer to the glory of Christ. The word glory literally means weight. And there is certainly a weight that is upon us through suffering, but the weight of God is greater. The weight of God in His presence and His power. Have you ever heard the story of the Velveteen Rabbit? I want to read to you from the story. I think it's so powerful as it describes how suffering brings glory, how God makes us beautiful through pain. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed seams underneath, and most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by break their mainsprings and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skinned horse, understood all about it. What is real? Asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle? Real isn't how you were made, said the skin horse. It is a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time, not to play with, but really loves you. Then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful, when you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who don't understand. I suppose you are real, said the rabbit, and he wished he had not said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. Man. God makes us real. Through the weight of suffering, He produces His glory in us. And Jesus is seen by others. One last tool remaining, and that is the tool of resurrection. Suffering brings beauty. As the Scripture says, beauty from ashes. And when someone has suffered, there is a depth about them that can only be attained by suffering, by pain. You can always tell a lightweight who hasn't been through much suffering. They have a superficial view of things. But the one who has suffered begins to see at a deeper level, at a more intense way. Job had faced so much suffering. He felt pruned. He felt pulled up by the roots. And it's certainly hard when you're going through suffering and pruning to see the beauty that results as growth begins to happen in God's power. Look at our last text here in 14, Job 14, starting at verse 13. Job, this is an amazing little passage of Scripture here when you think about Job's, when he lived, and the beliefs of that day, how people didn't understand our concept of resurrection or what we understand in Christ coming and dying for us. And he gets this wild idea for the day in which he lived. And what an amazing Scripture. Look at what he says. He says, "If only you would hide me in the grave and conceal me till your anger is past." As he's hurting, and he's heard others seek to tie his pain to his sin, how he has mistreated God, others make that accusation. And so he says, "I don't want to be hidden from you, God." He says, "If it means that my sin has to be dealt with, I'm willing to do that. If it means that I have to be hidden somewhere and in the grave, if I have to be sent to the grave, I will trust you, God." And he goes on, he says in that verse, he says, "If only you would set a time and then remember me." What is he saying? He's saying, you know, even if I'm dismembered, and even if I'm taken apart, and I am placed in the grave, and I have no life in me. He goes on in the text, he says, "You will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the creature your hands have made." What's he saying? He's saying, death. Death is not the end. And even if I'm in the grave, your love is so fantastic, it is so immeasurable, it is so unconditional, that you will not cease to love me. My relationship with you will not be over. Man, this is a transformational thought. In Job's day, especially looking on his side of the cross, he says, "If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal to come." What's he saying? He is saying, I believe there will be a resurrection. I believe that death is not the end. I believe that even when I'm dismembered, you will remember me. You will reconnect me. You will bring new life to me. It is a message of hope that he senses. Why does he say that? Because through all the suffering, he has grown to know God. He has grown to know the heart of God. He has grown to understand God in a deeper way than most. He goes on, he says, verse 16, "Surely then you will count my steps, but not keep track of my sin." He understands the forgiveness of God, even beyond our sins. "My offenses will be sealed up in a bag. You will cover over my sin." Man. Even there, he has a picture of the forgiveness of God, that some way, somehow, God's love is so vast that he will find a way to reach Job even in the grave. He will find a way to bring forgiveness. He will find a way to bring life. There is a yearning, he said in one of those verses I read, a yearning for your creation, a yearning for your creature. The idea is the intensity of a love that goes beyond the grave, and resurrection certainly fits that. And there are many descriptions of paradise in religions. As you think about the different religions, it is a conciliation for suffering, that there is a paradise, there is a place I will go to for being a good person and for following the commands of a deity that I follow or that I worship, that I follow the rules so the one I worship will take care of me. But God goes further than that. He goes further than saying, I'm going to reward you for your good conduct. He sent a Savior. He sent one to suffer for us so that we might find life. He became suffering that we might miss eternal suffering. I love what Timothy Keller says. He gives an illustration here I want to share with you. He says this here. Do you know what this means for believers? Nightmares. He gives the illustration of nightmares are only dreams. I got to thinking about some of my nightmares. I don't know what kind of nightmares you guys may have. I have this one nightmare. Now, this is low weight. This is not high weight. But I have this crazy dream through the years I've had that I'm in college, and I'm supposed to graduate, and I don't have enough credits. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to come up with these credits that I need in order for me to get that diploma and to be finished with college. And so there's all this stress, and I'm thinking, man, I've worked too hard for this to go on. And, you know, this is going on 15 years or something. You know, these dreams of how am I going to get out of here? How's this going to occur? Somehow I've skipped classes or not got the credit. And what am I going to do? I've had that. You know, that's lightweight nightmares. Then you have the top nightmares. You're being chased by someone who wants to take your life, or some monster, you know, that wants to tear you apart, or someone you love is about to die. I remember one dream I had where a loved one was in a car crash, and I woke up right when there was impact about to occur. And the good news about nightmares is you wake up. And I love this. Keller, he talked about this. He said he was mad at his family, and he goes to sleep, and he has this nightmare, and he wakes up, and he goes, oh, it didn't happen. He's, where's my family? Man, you know, I want to hug them. I'm just so grateful that that was just a dream. It's not reality. That's the good thing about nightmares. We wake up. You know what? Here's the truth about suffering. We may live in nightmares now, but we will wake up and find out it was only a dream because of Christ. C.S. Lewis wrote, "They say of suffering, no future bliss can make up for it. That's not true. For resurrection and eternal life, once attained, will work backwards and turn all your agony into glory." Dostoevsky wrote, "I believe like a child that suffering will be healed and made up for, that all the humiliating absurdity of human contradictions will vanish like a pitiful mirage, like the despicable fabrication of the impotent and infinitely small Euclidean mind of man, that in the world's finale, at the moment of eternal harmony, something so precious will come to pass that it will suffice for all hearts, for the comforting of all resentments, for the atonement of all the crimes of humanity, for all the blood that they've shed, that it will make it not only possible to forgive, but to justify all that has happened." Is resurrection possible? Notice what Job said. He says, "You will call." He knows that God will call him, that God will take away that dream and turn it into glory, that is what will await. Our sins put in a bag, taken away, forgiveness is total, love is complete. We wake up from the struggle and find ourselves in glory, find ourselves with Him. Why? Why is this what's going to happen? Because of Jesus. And so that brings us to a time where we want to remember Him. So I'm going to ask you guys, if you have your cup, or if you have another way to partake of the Lord's Supper, to be able to get your bread and your cup, your way to do that. And we want to remember Christ. Certainly, as we think about His sacrifice, it certainly reminds us of these three wonderful resources that we have, that He has given to us. His presence. He said, if I go away, I will send my Holy Spirit to be with you. You are not alone. And so as we prepare the cup, as I'm trying to get to my wafer here, bear with me if you're prepared already. We remember that His body, that complete forgiveness of sin, is able to occur because He literally gave us Himself on the cross. And that was what we ultimately needed in order for that to occur. I think I finally got it. If there wasn't a little bit of drama, life would be boring, right? So I encourage you, let's say a word of prayer as we remember Christ's body and then partake of it together. Father, thank You for sending Jesus. He suffered so I don't have to suffer forever, Lord. My sin's forgiven. And Father, each of us, as we prepare to partake of this, we remember the broken body of Christ. He came because there really was no other way. We thank You, O God, for that glory that came after Your death, Father, after the death of Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of Me. As we think about His blood being shed, it's hard to picture that as glory. But in His submission to the Father, in His willingness to suffer, in His humanity, to face the cross, no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so as we consider how His blood was literally spilled for us, so that we might know what life is about, as we consider the fact that the cross led to the end, but was not the end. He rose from the grave. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we remember His sacrifice, we know that it was only through His sacrifice that we could experience the resurrection that He led the way with. As we partake of the cup, we remember His blood shed for us. God is with us. God remains with us. Regardless of what difficulties that we face, we are not alone. Jesus came to, hey look, whatever He came to, we know He came. He came with His glory. He came, the resurrected one. We have the promise of resurrection, and we need to always remember Christ. That's why we meet. That's why we serve. That's why we're here. Because of the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your glory. Lord, we worship You, the risen one. And may You be always in the forefront of our minds, Lord. You gave it all, so we might have it all. May we be willing to give ourselves. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Our invitation hymn this morning is Come Just As You Are.